he goes on here in verse 11, and he's very specific now. Judah hath dealt treacherously. We now know who he's talking about, the tribe of Judah and around Jerusalem. He says, Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel. Now, that's all the 12 tribes, and in Jerusalem, the capital. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved. Now, God is holy, and he loves holiness. God doesn't love sin. He hates sin. Now, specifically, what's he talking about? And God will always spell it out. And hath married the daughter of a foreign god. Now, we've dealt with that. They were leaving their wives, and around them were these beautiful foreign girls, and they were marrying them. But these girls served a heathen pagan deity, and that brought into Israel, that brought idolatry into the nation. That's the way it got in at the beginning. That's the way that Balaam was able, actually, to curse Israel. He could not curse them. God would not permit it. But he was able to give Balak some very bad advice for Israel. He said, let the daughters of Moab marry the sons of Israel. And again, it brought judgment of God down upon them. And that, my friend, is something that carries all the way through the Word of God. And personally, I think that's what the sixth of Genesis means. I don't think that men and angels cohabited and produced some kind of a monstrous offspring, because angels neither marry, are given in marriage. And what you have here is a godless line, the sons of God. The godly line looked upon the daughters of men. And again, it's the same old story. And it's the same old story today. I've been saying it in Southern California since 1940. And I get out of breath saying it, but I keep on saying it. And divorce keeps building up. Nobody's paying any attention to me, but I keep saying it. A believer and an unbeliever ought not to get married. Any girl or any boy that flies in the face of God's very definite, specific instructions and command in this connection is just flirting for trouble. And believe me, problems will be coming his way. And it always happens that way. It cannot be otherwise. Now, verse 12. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar. Doesn't make any difference who he is. Out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offering an offering unto the Lord of hosts. You see, it doesn't make any difference whether he's going through the ritual. If he continues to live in sin, that's the reason that the prodigal son was a son and not a pig. He one day said, I'm going to go home to my father. My father's not a pig. My father's up yonder in that beautiful white house, and I want to go home, have the nature of my father. And a child of God won't live in sin. Now, this man, I read that startling letter today, says I'm an officer in the church and I can't give up adultery. My brother, whoever you are, and he's signed it here. I'm not giving any names or any places other than it's Southern California in the Los Angeles area. And that could take in so many that there's no reason why I shouldn't identify the geographical place. If you are God's child, you're going to get out of the pig pen. And if you don't get out of the pig pen, there's just one conclusion to come to. You just have to be one of the pigs, because nothing but pigs love the pig pen and are satisfied to stay down there. You'll get out of it. Now notice verse 13. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with good will at your hand. Well, what was happening? The wives of these men that were divorcing them and going and marrying these foreign girls, these wives came to the altar weeping and in tears and shed them upon the altar, you see. God said, I heard them. I listened to them. And then when you came along later and very piously, and you brought your offering and put it on that same altar where the tears of your wife was, then you expected me to accept it. God says, I want you to know something. I didn't pay any attention to it. And I would say this, I have a notion that this man that says he's an officer in the church and he commits adultery, I have a notion he takes up the offering. He may be the treasurer of the church. He may be the head deacon. But God is paying no attention to your work. It's no good in his sight. Be better if you stayed home and stayed out of sight. God makes it very clear here. God says he will not receive it at all. God says, I will not receive it with goodwill at your hand. I know you're a hypocrite, and I will not accept it. Well, what did they do? Well, he makes it very clear. He spells it out. Judah hath dealt treacherously. He's not talking to the priests now, but to the people. He's talking to the people. This is a sin that the people have committed that came back into that land. Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a foreign god. In other words, a heathen woman, a pagan woman, that was worshiping in idolatry. Now, that's the way idolatry got into the northern kingdom, was through Ahab marrying Jezebel. And she was the daughter of the high priest of Baal over in Sidon. She was a Sidonian. And that was the way it came in. Now, that was happening again. You see, these people have returned to the land, and around them, we learn that from Nehemiah, well, there were all kinds of people that were living around them at that time. And an Israelite, and he'd be married, and he'd see some good-looking, you know, beautiful foreign girl. And he'd decide that he would like to have her for his wife. So he'd get rid of his wife, and he would marry this foreign girl. Now, let me keep reading down here, and I'll come to the verse that we're after. Verse 12, I'm reading, the Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Now, will you notice as we move on here, verse 14, yet ye say, why? Oh, will you listen to him? With feigned, injured innocence, with pretended ignorance, offense. Oh, God is so offensive to even suggest that, because why wouldn't he accept it? Why, I brought a lovely, nice little fat lamb to offer, but God says you're rotten in your life. And may I say that when they ask the question why, now God spells it out so you can't misunderstand. He puts it in neon lights. Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. Now, she's the one that you stood before the priest and took a covenant that you would be faithful and true unto her. You see, he'd married a Hebrew girl when he was a young man, gets a little older, and he moves out, that is, in his travels, out among these pagan heathen. And what happens? He's a witness now between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. In other words, they had been married, and it was a religious ceremony, not a civil. They were joined together by the priests.